Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
There's one chip and only one chip for the guacamole. That's that Cantina Gold, thick in the yellow bag.
Mm-hmm. It's Mike Shope.
No thin crisp, no scoops. Get out of here with hint of lime. Horrendous choice.
And the Bulldog.
The lime is just too much lime. There's lime in the guacamole. Any more lime is too much lime. You're crossing the line. You've crossed the line. If you're using hint of lime in the lime in the guacamole with the lime, you've crossed the line.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
An hour in and haven't spent a minute on Pareko. I want to do this real quick, and then fans are waiting to talk about the DJ Moore stuff, which I think is really fun and interesting. Yesterday, I was baffled. I think a lot of us were, that it kind of played out the way that it did. That you had the insiders jumping in on that this trade has been agreed to, and then, oh, wait a minute. Well, he doesn't have to go. And I just was confused by, like, why they wouldn't have known that first. But, you know, I went to college for journalism and communications, and a reporter doesn't have to wait for the player to give his consent or something. Like, if you find out there's a trade, you can report that. I just don't think most of those guys do it that way. I think it's a collaborated effort with the teams, how they get stories. You know, almost never is anything broken locally. It's all through the Schefters and the Darren Dreggers and those people. So why did it go that way? Then we had a second trade the same day where the same thing happened. That player, Weegar, eventually waived his no-trade clause and agreed. And then today, Pareko did the opposite. I just wonder if, like, how many people knew about it? And it makes me rethink, like, where does the information come from? Because the reporter doesn't want the problem with the teams or the players or anything. But when this happens, like, nobody looks good. The Sabres don't look good. They traded for a player. They might have even overpaid, but still they're going for it. They traded for a player who didn't want to play for them. We didn't have to know about that, but we do. The player doesn't look great because a lot of people with St. Louis would like to think that he would take the trade to give them the two firsts and whatever. That might still happen through another team, but to this point, there's a little bit of that, and it all just looks kind of, everybody looks disorganized when it comes to this. How many people knew, and where does the information come from? I just feel like we never really needed to know. I like knowing that this trade was agreed to, but it sort of feels like it never really needed to get out. And then the player could have said no, and it's always just like something we never heard about. So it's still interesting and kind of confusing to me, but disappointing. Travis Yost will be on with me in 25 minutes, and he'll tell you that the Sabres dodged a bullet. It's one of the first things I saw yesterday when the trade was reported, that Travis doesn't like it. If Travis doesn't like it, I don't think I like it. So I got excited about it, but maybe it's best this way. Just another blow to the psyche that here are the Sabres. I mean, they're 2 points out of first, and they can't get a 32-year-old defenseman that might not even be that good anymore. Ouch. All right, let's go to Kelsey here. Hi, Kelsey.
Hi, Mike. I just want to tell you, first of all, that I've listened to you guys since, I think, about 03, yeah, whatever year that was. I actually drive a longer route home from work to make sure that I have the cell data in order to listen to you guys, you know, with the Odyssey app.
Thank you. That's a great compliment.
Yep. And I have two quick points. One,
hang on, Kelsey, before you go. Does your employer give you a hard time for the extra miles?
No, he's great. They actually pay for my gas, too.
Okay, good, good. I don't want you to get in any trouble. All right, good.
No, it's okay. The only thing I kind of disagree with about the second round trade. I don't know if I disagree or not, but didn't we get a second round pick for Diggs when we traded with Houston?
Yes, the Bills got a second round pick for Diggs a year out. So the trade was what, 2 years ago? And they got the pick for 25. Do I have my numbers right? So this would be a little richer than that because it's this year's draft. It's usually like, they say anyway, Kelsey, like a round different. So if you wanted a second next year, would be like a third this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what I do agree with is your analyzation of the Rams drafting point. Something I thought you would have brought up. You didn't bring it up, but I heard earlier in the day that they actually don't even attend the combine.
It's wild.
And did this go by what their scouts say? And
hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Rather than doing these interviews with every player or, bringing them in and then, coming up with reasons not to pick them, if they bring them in, they don't like their interview or something.
Or they do, they overlike it, to make up a word, right? They could like it too much and then fall into a trap. Yeah, Kelsey, thanks. I talked about this with Bulldog a lot yesterday. It's a great subject, how, whether it's football or anything, how the job interview, you can read on this online. I'm not the expert, but I've read on it. It's really fascinating how the job interview can be counterproductive. And I think at the root of the Rams and now the Jaguars, whose GM comes from the Rams, what it is we don't want to fall into a trap. And we're just going to watch the tape. And what I do like about the Rams stuff more is that they've backloaded their drafts. So they might have traded their number one. They did that yesterday. They still have Atlanta's for this draft, by the way, but they traded their own first round pick to the Chiefs. And, that's a choice, but they get later picks or they have later picks, and that's what they've done. And they've been able to hit big on a lot of those picks, which is why they have a great team. Well, part of it. I mean, Puka Nacua is one of the best receivers in the NFL, if not the best, and he's a Saturday pick. So they got lucky there. There's luck in it, but they've been of the mind to pile up day three picks, and I think that that's a great move. And I'd like to see the Bills do that, which means now I've traded my second. I think I want to turn my first into 2 seconds. I might want to turn one of those into 2/3, and I want to do that dance because they need players. I mean, they took their shot today, but they still need players. So I would like to see them add picks. Thanks, Kelsey. Again, I appreciate what you said. Let's go to Mike next. Hi, Mike.
How's it going? Thanks Good. For letting me call in. The DJ Moore trade today, I am not feeling very good about it. The guy quit on plays last year when the ball wasn't going to him, when he wasn't happy with the quarterback. He has come out and said that he doesn't work out in the offseason at all. Not the type of player that our old coach would want. And it's obvious that Joe Brady wanted this guy because when they drafted him, he was the OC. If Ben Johnson's only getting 600 yards out of this guy in 17 games, I can't imagine that Joe Brady's going to get much more out of him. To me, DJ Moore is more of an inside receiver who catches short passes, and he has the ability to go over the top, but he's not going to win on routes in short separation. He's going to win with his athleticism. All of this, to me, sounds like a more developed Keon Coleman. And I think we messed up when we made Joe Brady the head coach. I really do. This is it's obviously a Joe Brady move and the GM giving the head coach what he wants. The guy makes 4 years, $100 million. I think he's our second highest paid player now for someone that's what, a number two at best. I don't see where we're going with this. We're really going to get into the new stadium and what, we're going to trot out Javon Solomon as our edge rusher on the other side of Rousseau. Just, I'm not seeing where the money's going, what players are coming in. And to me, I'd rather have Connor McGovern than DJ Moore. I think Connor McGovern would help the team more than DJ Moore would.
Okay.
Just, maybe you could sway me, but
no, I'm not inclined to.
Ready to happen.
This is a phone call where I'm sort of sitting here nodding to myself, listening. Like this, a lot of this makes sense to me. I guess I want to say about the Bears that was a first year for that coach with those players and a quarterback who had, to be kind, a very uneven rookie year. And they did it through different ways. They got some luck, and then they had four, I want to say, comparable target options. So thank you, Mike. I thought that was really thought-provoking. They were not a team where I'm not holding last year against DJ Moore. I think guys get older. He's played, he never misses a game. So you look at his numbers and it's 17 starts. Like, he's very durable. It's also Diggs in this way where, like, Diggs never missed. DJ Moore never missed. But that there's also a toll that gets taken. And I'm not holding last year's numbers against him. I think the trade is egregious for what the Bills gave up. But I'm not sitting here coming from a standpoint that, like, he's done. But everybody gets older, and it comes at different times for different players. Receivers-wise, the data suggests the bigger you are, the longer you can hold off the age curve. That's what got me more into Mike Evans as an idea. I'm not as worried about him, you know, crashing out as I would be about Diggs or even DJ Moore, who's younger than Diggs. But otherwise, you know, you make some good points. Let's go to Dave next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going today?
Okay.
Good. Well, I want to talk about DJ. I'm going to hope to try to sway you guys just a little bit. I'm down here in Charlotte. Been blessed to be able to be on the field for some of the games as part of, like, the hype group for the Panthers, and got to watch DJ and get to know him a little bit personally as well. And so this is a guy who is, one, extremely classy. I've seen him go out of his way for many, many individuals, staying after games, going before the games. Never in the time that I saw him in Carolina, not denying what we saw in Chicago, take plays off. Great downfield blocker. I know the last guy was saying just a little better than Keon. He is much better than what Keon has shown, much more mature. His route running skills are stronger. He's a good leader for his team. I see this being as an absolute steal for us. I know some people don't like getting rid of the second rounder, and I can kind of understand that. But if we can get the production that we've seen out of him, he's going to do that, and he's going to make the other receivers much better too.
Well, that part goes without saying, I think, Dave. Like, if this is like saying if they win, it'll be worth it. Of course. I mean, if they get 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns, then we're not going to care as much about the draft pick, and that's obvious. That is always true. But it's still like an if, and it really just doesn't need to be said. I mean, of course. I mean, if they win the Super Bowl 3-0, nobody's going to complain about trading for DJ Moore. So that's how that goes. I guess the accepting and appreciating all your thoughts from, you know, boots on the ground, it's not a steal. You can't. You can say things like, if we win, if this, if that. You don't have to bother wasting your breath. That's always the case. It doesn't need to ever be said. Of course that's true. The price is the point. The price is the point. And he might be the world's best guy, but I think we're talking about a player that could have been cut. And when the news broke and it was put as a mid-round pick, I don't know, was that just wrong? because a second round pick is not a mid round pick. There's no scenario where it is. Was that just wrong or what? Like, I think, like a lot of people I was reading when I was finding out about this trade, if you're talking about a Saturday pick for a guy making so much money, that's probably entering the downside. All right, well, I need somebody. And I don't love the player, but it's better. And that's not what happened. So it's not a steal in my book by any stretch. It's a huge price to pay for a guy that there are questions about. But he is talented. No one says different. Let's go to Rob next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. Hope all's well.
I'm fine. Thanks.
Yeah, so I'm actually in the minority here, and I feel like I actually like the move that we made today. I think, you know, obviously don't love giving up a second-round pick, but, I mean, the plays this guy made in the playoffs were phenomenal. And I don't know, has Moore really had a top, you know, end quarterback like Allen before?
No.
I just don't think you're going to see a guy in the second round making those plays in those big moments like DJ Moore did in the playoffs this year. So I'm a fan of it. Thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, probably not as a rookie. You wouldn't expect to get what's, just to say it, pick 60 is, if you had to draft a wide receiver with that pick, he's wide receiver 8 in the draft. And so who would have a better season? Wide receiver 8 or this guy in a vacuum? This guy. The bet would be DJ Moore, minus 200. I mean, that would be the bet. But I don't need to tell you, the draft isn't drafting a player for 1 year. And, you know, there's big guaranteed money being bet on this guy for years, which I guess this is what reminds me of sort of like a Sabres thing, which isn't even that fair to the Sabres, but like sort of, we please like us. Here's guaranteed money, rework the deal, you know, you make your moves with the cap number and all that, which helps you always in the short term, but you still have to pay. Eventually, you still have to pay. And it's like one of these where on the plus side, you're trying to win and you're adding a good starter. Like, that's what you do. On the other side, you know, almost definitely it will become an eyesore on your cap. And you just have to hope that doesn't happen for a few years. Like Von Miller, who is older, not apples to apples, but, you know, when you trade for Von Miller or sign Von Miller, that's very exciting. And anybody ripping it is going to get ripped back because it means you hate them or something. But it was always true. Like, eventually you're going to have a problem. You're going to have to deal with the cap. And that just kind of keeps happening for the Bills. Now we're into an offseason where they've had their window. They've been close, but haven't won, haven't even gotten there. And it's just like it piles up. And I just added to the pile with this trade. Again, like it doesn't even need to be said. If you win, it's fine. If you win, everything's fine. Here's Chris next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, so this DJ Moore trade, I guess you call it a love-hate relationship with it. I mean, on the one side, we needed a receiver. I get that. And going out and getting DJ Moore is going to be better than in this year anybody than you would probably get with that second-round pick. But also, when I heard a mid-round pick, you know, I was thinking, like, okay, probably a fourth, maybe a third, and I could have lived with that. But a second-round pick with the cap space that we have and the cap that the hit that he's going to give us, it just seemed like a lot to me.
Yep.
And, you know, you can make the argument all day, like I said, about his presence on the team. But I will say, you know, also that this puts us, I think, in a good position for the draft because the Bills have so many options of what they can do now. And with them switching to the 3-4, we're going to need defense.
Well, I mean, that's still true. They've also, which is unfortunate, I guess, maybe that's not the best word, they've already done a lot of that in drafts like last year. So I think I'd only have an appetite for so much of it, but they just made their second round pick today. They added a fifth. That shouldn't be completely ignored, but it's way, way less valuable. The second round pick is in, wide receiver. They're not spending the first round pick on another one. I mean, I just don't even know what I would do if that happened. It's better than drafting two linebackers, I guess, but I just wouldn't even know what to do with that. I can't believe that'll happen. Yeah, I think Brady, I mean, he's in charge now. And I think this is interesting to monitor. We've started with him and are asking questions about how much authority he had before to run the offense he wanted. One thing that DJ Moore said or implied in that clip with Matt Harmon is that, you know, when he played for Brady in Carolina, there were nuances and there was like a, I don't know, this is not a quote, but I got the sense if it isn't a quote, that they wanted to really open things up and, you know, did some of that. And that has not been the story with the Bills under Brady. And we all wonder, like, well, is that because of Brady or because of McDermott or because of the roster, which is constructed with the coaches in mind? And I think Brady, I would say this to him, with due respect to McDermott, I think Brady should want you to think that, oh, that wasn't really me. Some of the good parts, yes, but I think he might want to open it up. I mean, why do you do this for this price if you don't? So it goes against the logic I've been leaning on for a couple of years when it comes to James Cook and three tight ends and Alec Anderson, you know. That's kind of the Bills' identity in the last couple of years. And what it isn't is throwing the ball down the field. And I think, you know, it's March 5th. I think Brady should want you to think, us to think, that he wants to change that fundamentally. Not drastically, but fundamentally. And so, if I'm right, I mean, it's not just what do they want to say, but it's what they want to do. And this lines up with that. That we want to be, you want your opponent to think that, let alone the fans. You want who you're playing to think like that you're dangerous down the field. And the Bills were so not dangerous. And you could say 30 points a game, again, playoffs, 30 points. Still, it has been said that you're throwing to Brandon Cooks and Mecole Hardman to end your season. Like, that should be improved upon. So I think that is, you know, where this takes me today. And that's all, I guess, mostly irrespective of what they paid in this trade. But, you know, logically, the more you give up to accomplish this, the more you want to think that this is where you want to end up, how you want to play. Sammy Watkins, which is now like ancient history, but that trade was tough. And I decided to ride the wave. Bulldog hated it. And we hung out every day talking about Sammy Watkins. And what it had to be with EJ Manuel at the time, right? What it had to be is, are you going to do that? You're going to trade up, not try for Mike Evans, hope to have him fall in your lap, or even Odell Beckham, who would have. You're going to make that power move for Watkins is one thing you can't do. And that's like hide him. This is now your most important player. And the Bills didn't do that. And he wasn't a quarterback, but they really didn't do that. I mean, there were games where he almost never got the ball. And that was just like a total sign of dysfunction. So, I mean, DJ Moore doesn't have to catch 120 passes necessarily, but you want to think from this, they'll be more open and throw the ball, just sort of do all the things you would do if you had this player. Let's hope, I want to say. Let's hope. Travis Yost next. Some Sabres and Bills with Travis. Sal Capaccio at 5. Sabres and Penguins tonight. Pre-game at 6. No Bulldog today. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. The word luck is interesting to me in these trade reports, in how, like, were the Bills lucky to make the DJ Moore trade? I don't know. Maybe they would have been better off without it. One can debate that. Were the Sabres perhaps lucky that Colton Parayko said no? Here's someone who I think would tell us yes to that question. Travis Yost. Travis, did you really go through yourself and compile this list of names of people that have worked for the Bills and Panthers? I know a guy in sales who you could add to it if you want. Or did you copy this from something?
No. In the age of AI now, someone just gently pointed out to me, like, hey, you could probably just ask a chat about this, and they'll figure it out pretty quick. And sure as the day is long, we've not only got an answer, there's 49 names, by the way. And since 2017, 49 previously existing Carolina Panthers front office coaches or players have subsequently made their way to Buffalo. So the next one will be number 50. DJ Moore is number 49. Which, does that make John Fox 48? I'm losing track.
All these years growing up and living in Western New York, I always knew that people left Western New York for places like Charlotte. Now the Bills are doing their best to reverse that over the last decade. Well, let's hear your take on this trade before we get into the Sabres, Travis. The main reason for our calling you this time, as always. Do you like it? Can you defend it?
I can defend it. I don't know. I guess I can defend it. I don't know if I like it. Here's what I will say. It's a very nuanced trade in that the Bills obviously are in this pretty significant pressure cooker to upgrade the wide receiver room and effectively immediately, right? I mean, they cannot go into September without really overhauling the wide receiver room, but also they made such a broad organizational change that everyone knows that a lot of the investment this year, like it or not, 10th year in a row, is going to be on the defensive side of the ball. And in many respects, you know, you could throw your hat and say, how many years have we invested in the defense to watch the offense come up just short a little bit here? But they really have overhauled through the coaching changes, bringing in Jim Leonard. Like, you know, they're going to overhaul a lot of what that defense looks like. They're going to need capital and draft picks to do that. And so I think it made a lot of sense for them to look around the league and see what is out there for a plug-and-play veteran. And, you know, I've seen some criticism of, you know, DJ Moore doesn't really bust his proverbial butt on every single route, this, that, and the other. He had a down year. But, like, this is exactly the type of player that you try and buy on a one-year, you know, a player who's had a great career, who always flashes. He's had one down year. To me, that's a reasonable, like, can we buy low candidate. So when I saw the trade announced and I'm like, oof, knowing that DJ Moore has got this massive contract, even with some sort of restructuring, I was like, okay, well, I assume the comp is going to be pretty thin because you've really let the Bears off the hook here. The Bears have this DJ Moore contract as expensive as it is long, and they hit on a couple of younger receivers to the point where they need this capital now to look. You know, Chicago, we've already heard them rumored to be interested in Max Crosby, a couple other names. They're going to need money and cap flexibility to do that. So I was assuming, hey, look, this will be a pretty thin comp, and then I'll like the deal. But when it came out that it was a second-round pick, and I get that they Bills get a fifth-round pick back, they paid a pretty big premium to get a pretty good number two wide receiver who's got a lot of term on that deal. And, yes, he is the best receiver Allen has had since Diggs. I don't even think that's debatable. But they paid a pretty big premium to do so. The only thing I would say, and I'll end on this, I get that a lot of the incremental or a lot of remaining investment is going to be probably on the defensive side of the ball. They cannot be done with the wide receiver room. And maybe that's an easy thing to say because it would seem foolish and unlikely that they would stop here. But this kid has to be one of likely two or even three moves to that wide receiver room. I would still hope that one of their first couple picks is used on a receiver here.
Well, I would be blown away if that were their first round pick. There are always, you know, more trades that can happen. But after today with their holes, I can't imagine they're doing that. Maybe in round three. Otherwise, you better cross your fingers. I mean, I think it's completely reasonable, like you do, to want to do that. But, I mean, you've got to nail it, and they've done that with, you know, Shakir isn't elite, but that's a win of a draft pick. Gabe Davis was also a win of a draft pick, day three. You can hope for Puka, somebody like that, but I think that's probably got to be where this happens. now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the odds are not great.
I will say two things there, too, right? You really need three positions, receiver, linebacker, edge. Because of the trade now to the second round pick, it seems like, I agree with you, it seems likely they're going to go best player available based on fit between backer and edge. Maybe more likely edge since it's more of a premium position. But even you know, you're kind of looking at the stars trying to figure out how the board's going to fall. I would say that, you know, if nothing else, this team has shown that they can patchwork a linebacker room. I mean, they did it last year. They've done it a couple times now. But, boy, it doesn't leave me very – like, I could see a very – maybe even the base case scenario is they invested a wide receiver, they improved the defensive line again – but they're super thin on linebacker and are scrambling around for veterans. I could see that being the weak part of the defense once again and then next year.
With Travis Yost of TSN, one of our favorite, if not the favorite, hockey analyst of this show, the NHL trade deadline is tomorrow. So enough football for now. Travis, in your I know the answer. In your opinion, did the Sabres get off the hook by Colton Parayko not waiving his no-trade clause?
Yes, and I want to be very nuanced in my answer too here because I don't want to say I caught flack, but a good healthy level of pushback of why don't you want to trade for an Olympian top four defender after you know we're in this near two decade playoff drought? He clearly improves the team. What are you talking about, Trav? And it's like pause right there. Colton Parayko makes the Sabres better tomorrow unequivocally. There's no doubt about it. But if you've watched Parayko this year, there is a in my opinion, an interesting question about are we starting to see a slowdown in an otherwise uber-talented, potentially Hall of Fame-level defenseman who's now 32 years old, who's been dealing with intermittent back issues this year, and you'd like to believe those are temporary. I think the latest report was it's intermittent back spasms, whatever the case is. But when you watch St. Louis, and I wholeheartedly acknowledge that the environment in the Blues and how bad they've been has likely sunk Parayko, because even superstars can get caught up in the muck on otherwise really bad teams. And I still think Parayko has a few years left. But this is a player on the wrong side of 30 with a very large cap hit that the Sabres were going to trade not one but effectively two first-round picks for to add a position that I know they want a right-shot defenseman. And I think they do, in some respects, need a right-shot defenseman if you start thinking about him in the perspective of is this a fringe playoff team or a team that can actually win in the playoffs? I think this is a team that can win in the playoffs. So the premium or the value proposition for chasing this type of player is elevated, and I recognize that. But they were giving a pretty significantly expensive package for Parayko when I didn't even think Parayko was the best fit or even a top two fit from the Blues lineup. If Buffalo was really sitting in the driver's seat as a buyer, all of the talk in the last week about Robert Thomas, and I get it, fans and analysts, doesn't matter what, coaches, doesn't matter, you can never fall in love with an idea, and it's not clear with 24 hours still to go if Robert Thomas was an idea or a loudly talked about idea. It seems like it was between the Blues and Sabres, even though reports indicate it's chilled, but he is really what the Sabres need, which is a pretty talented middle six center who provides insurance down the middle of the lineup behind Tage Thompson. And by the way, provides insurance for a player like Josh Norris, who I like Josh Norris, but you do have a couple of players on this roster who have been in and out of the lineup for durability concerns. I think the acquisition price for a Thomas would be thinner than a Parayko. And I think he's more productive where he's at in his career right now on a relative basis than Parayko is. So, you know, I look at, and by the way, I said top two because to me, the number one player on my trade board, even when Bredman was available, and I'm not saying he's a better player, I thought he was the most interesting, based on the likely price to acquire, he might be the best buy that you can find, and he's got a longer-term contract, and he's a winger. But Jordan Kyrou on the Blues, too, is another player who, if I'm the Sabres and I'm like, man, we can get rolling at 5-on-5. Like, that's been true for 2.5-3 years now. It's remarkably true here. How do I even fortify further the middle six? Like, if I could simulate a trade package where the Sabres invested several current picks and future assets for a Thomas and Kyrou combo and added that salary, there would be some serious financial wrangling in the years to come and figure what it means for Alex Tuch, a couple other guys on the roster. But In my opinion, that's the type of trade that actually elevates Buffalo into, can they win the Eastern Conference now? I don't know that Parayko moves the needle in the same way, and I'm sympathetic to the idea, and I do like the player, but they were giving up quite a bit for a guy who, at least I think it was fair to say, there are questions about, I recognize he's a fantastic defensive defenseman and still a very good one today, but what does his game look like to now and over the next 18 months? I don't know that it was as convincing as it might be for a couple of these other younger players out there.
Okay. What's the difference? I got about 3 minutes, Travis, if you do. What's the difference between making the playoffs in the East this year and making a run? Isn't it pretty flat?
I'd say so. I think a lot of it comes down to team avoidance. I think there's two teams, if you're the Sabres, that you probably don't want to play if you have your pick, and that's the Hurricanes, obviously, and the Lightning. And I think the Sabres can play with both of these teams. And quite frankly, I think there's an argument, depending on what Tampa Bay does. Let me just say this. I'm very curious to see what the Lightning do in the next 24 hours because, I mean, they've been connected to Blake Coleman, a couple other names. I don't know how much they can reasonably add, though, with their cap situation. I think Carolina is always going to remain one of the league's, you know, preeminent teams. They've been one of the most winning teams the last 6-7 years. It's no different this year. They actually have the makeup of a team that can skate. They're one of the few teams that go 3-4 lines deep, 2-3 pairings deep. And when the Sabres play against the Carolina team, it hasn't always been true, but that's one of the few teams in the league that you can look at if you're the Sabres and say, yeah, they can not only play with us 5-on-5, they might be a little better than us. But that list is getting shorter and shorter by the week. I think the path to winning the East really comes down to, can you only just play one of those teams? Can you get some fortune in the other division and see Carolina bounce early and you only have to get through Tampa? Or maybe someone else takes care of Tampa. Montreal's a pretty live team in that division as well. But playing both those teams certainly makes the road a little bit harder. But if we've seen anything from the Sabres this year, they're resilient, which is crazy to say. They're one of the hottest teams in the league, which is also crazy to say. And they're likely going to be buyers in the next 24 hours. We don't know what that name is yet or if he has a no-trade clause. But it seems likely that this team will be better, not worse, one day forward. So, yeah, yep. I think there's every reason to be optimistic about where the Sabres are right now and where they're headed into April.
One thing we know about this Eastern Conference field, no Patrick Mahomes, so that's open. You don't have to worry about going through him. Travis, if you can, in like 2 minutes or less, what do you have a thought on how the story got out with Parayko before he had decided on his future? To me, it's interesting. I think we might have some of the same sensibilities about how the insider machine works. And I wonder if, like, the agents were in play here. There's discussion online today about whether this was done to put pressure on the player. And I think that that's logical because he can look bad if he says no.
This stuff only gets out for a handful of reasons at best. And one of them absolutely is to apply pressure. I don't blame the insiders who are reporting this stuff, because they're downline from this information. Like, you can yell at these guys all day long. I work with a few of them, right? Like, you can scream until you're blue in the face. They're recipients of information. They're sitting on this information. It's not a trade secret. It's not a state secret. This is real NHL news. And just because the GM of a team says, hey, we're making this trade, you got 24 hours to decide if you're going to waive, that doesn't mean that's not going to hit the news wire. And to your point, by the way, it is worth underlining here, this is not a one-off with Parayko. It happened with Tyler Myers in the Detroit Red Wings just the same. And Myers eventually said, no, thank you, Detroit, ends up in Dallas. So, like, there's I think this is a bit of a new wrinkle that the league, the front office, the agents, and the insiders, kind of as an aggregate, are all dealing with. But I think so. I think some real learning lessons were handed out this week, because multiple times news got out in front of the actual trade being completed. The trade had to be walked back. And by the way, the damage that does to the guys who didn't know they were being traded, but all of a sudden are being traded, but now they're not being traded. Boy, whether it's the Sabres, the Red Wings, any other team for that matter, it's not just about the guys like Parayko who have the decision to say, I'm not interested in waiving. It's prospects and young players and even rostered players who are saying, wait, you were trying to trade me? I don't know how that goes around in the locker room, but it can't go well.
Well put, as always. Travis, great to talk to you again. Enjoy deadline day.
Take care and tell Bulldog to get better. I don't know what's going on around Western New York.
It's flu B and some different things. You've had your experiences as we've had in my house too. It's that I was feeling maybe it's if you're superstitious, this would be my fault. Like a couple of weeks ago, I haven't gotten sick yet. And he and I both for the last week or so have kind of been back and forth. But anyway, we'll get through it. Sal Capaccio coming up at 5. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.